about who can do what to rein in the booming cost of housing. Yesterday, the Finance Minister, Grant Robertson, wrote to the Reserve Bank asking it to consider what it can do to keep house prices in check when it considers monetary policy. This is in addition to its remit to keep inflation within a certain target band and also to consider full employment while doing so. Grant Robertson says the central bank can do more. But within hours, the bank's governor, Adrian Orr, had responded saying it already does what the minister wants it to do. Well, joining us to discuss the conundrum is independent economist Cameron Bagri. Cameron, good morning.
Good morning.
So what's happened here? Did the government need to be seen to be doing something? What's your take?
Well, I guess if I step back and think about the bigger picture, we've got an economy that's obviously taken a pretty big hit, and we need to springboard back that economy back up to pre-COVID levels. And one of the mechanisms we're using is the Reserve Bank's gone pretty big and they've waved their magic wand, and guess what? Our lower interest rates stimulate the housing market and asset prices are off to the races. But of course, we're seeing a little bit of a mismatch now between what's called the economic side of the ledger versus the social side. You're pre-COVID, you had two big social themes are housing affordability and income inequality. And unfortunately, a byproduct of monetary policy working, you know, trying to get inflation back up, get back towards full employment, is that property prices have been accelerated. In fact, they've been off to the races.
So the Reserve Bank governor's really been very clear. You've dubbed it the least regret response. The priority was to avoid a chronic recession, potentially a depression in the early days, and that is the priority. The question now is whether the track the bank was on should hold, given what we've seen with the economic recovery of sorts to date. How are you reading that? Are things going better than Treasury and the bank thought they might be?
Oh, without a doubt. Yes, if I have a look at the economy today or expectations over the coming few months, we're in a lot better space than what anybody anticipated 3 to 6 months ago. You know, the team of 5 million has come together. Obviously, the Reserve Bank and the government has deployed some pretty massive stimulus to support the economy, and hey presto, it's worked. Yeah, but if you look out there at the moment, yeah, we're still in a high-risk economic environment. Yeah, we're only, you know, five or so community transmission COVID cases away from another lockdown. You know, the hit to the tourism sector is not really being felt yet. Yeah, that's a November to March story next year. Yeah, things could turn on a dime. Yeah, but if I step back and think about the bigger picture here, the Reserve Bank, I think, needs to be responding or respecting the economic data. Yeah, the economic data has been better, so back off a little bit. Yeah, there's no need. That least regret strategy is still a good strategy, but it doesn't need to be as intense in regards to front-loading. But I'll get back and once again, the Reserve Bank, yeah, there's a whole lot of things that could get done here. Well, the Reserve Bank, I think, needs a debt-to-income limit. Yeah, cap, macro-financial tool, I think that'll be better than the loan-to-value ratio restrictions.
Here's the thing. The government already added to the policy targets agreement a request, essentially, for the bank to consider full employment. This was pre-COVID. When you consider full employment, I would have thought that lends itself towards lower interest rates and a very nice liquid banking system so that businesses can borrow and grow and hire. If you're talking about dampening down houses, then you are talking about perhaps steadying and in different circumstances, increasing interest rates and perhaps tightening money supply so that banks don't have as much to lend. Are they not diametrically opposed policy targets?
And that's a big problem, right? So a strict interpretation of the Reserve Bank remit, which is, yeah, they're supposed to have inflation back towards 2% and in full employment, we are a long way away from that. So the Reserve Bank has been stepping up to the plate and acknowledging we've got further work to do, so they're deploying all the arsenal, and that involves lower and lower interest rates, and that's really good for the property side. Now, this is where we get into dangerous territory, because you've got this overlap here between monetary policy trying to stimulate the economy versus potentially financial stability concerns, i.e., what happens if the property market goes bust. And what we're now, where we're now treading into, we're trying to get that sort of a little bit of balance in regard to how do we get this right. Yeah, so we saw a couple of weeks ago, the Reserve Bank was still talking about lower and lower interest rates or interest rates lower for a longer period to support the economy, get us back to full employment. But what they're also deploying is that loan-to-value ratio restrictions, they're going to tighten those things up. Yeah, because they want the property market to slow down. It's probably gone a little bit further than what they anticipated, but we are in that real balancing period, both in regard to the economic side of the ledger, full employment versus financial stability, but also the economic versus the social side of the ledger.
Okay. The Bank Stability Report comes out today, which is a core remit of the bank. I'm wondering whether what's just happened... Look, this isn't... It's been stressed by the Finance Minister. This isn't any kind of instruction. This isn't moving outside of the relationship and the way the Reserve Bank and the Finance Minister communicate. Is it pretty much for show?
No, I wouldn't say it's for show at all. I think the social conscience of society is really being tested here. In fact, if I have a look at... the Reserve Bank, once again, a strict interpretation of their remit. You get at the end, you deploy the arsenal. You do more. But I think we've struck a bit of a nerve between the economic and the social side of the ledger. And a pretty clear shift in society's tone is apparent. And the Reserve Bank is treading a pretty fine line regarding their what's called social licence. The social licence is about maintaining the confidence of society. It's behaving within the bounds of, accountability and in a socially and environmentally responsible way. The Reserve Bank ticks a lot of those boxes in regard to their communication. But when you look at the gap between the haves and the have-nots, I valued the housing market up in excess of $100 billion in the last 12 months, and the unemployment rate is still sort of moving up. There's some obvious questions that are going to be asked. Now, the Reserve Bank can only do so much. Ultimately, getting the housing market under control is going to require a supply-side response. And KiwiBuild has not been great. The government of the day actually removed asset prices from the remit. If you go back and have a look at the previous policy targets agreement, or what's now called a remit, the previous one, the Reserve Bank was supposed to actively monitor asset prices. That got removed. Now, I think some real big questions need to be asked in regard to why was it removed?
When was it removed, please?
It was removed when the last remit was signed, which was in 2018. Now, I think some people say, well, it was still implicitly within that remit policy targets agreement because the Reserve Bank needs to look at financial stability. So asset prices are a big part of financial stability, but it's not the same. If you have asset prices directly within that remit, that policy targets agreement, it's a different standard in regard to what the Reserve Bank is supposed to be looking at. It got removed, and no one asked any questions about it.
It does have options, the Reserve Bank. It has indicated how much, the maximum it would print, effectively, between now and March, I think it was. And, of course, it had asked banks to prepare for the possibility of negative interest rates. That doesn't mean to need, as a cash rate, it doesn't mean it needs to go there. So there is room for calibration in what it's doing. Is this some jawboning, if you like, from the finance minister that may or may not be helpful to the Reserve Bank?
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, because if I go back and have a look at 3 weeks ago, before the previous monetary policy statement, market expectations were that the official cash rate in New Zealand was going to go into negative territory. Now, if I compared that to the United States, the United Kingdom and Australia, market expectations were that the cash rate over there was going to go to zero. Yeah, so we were a little bit more of an outlier. Our central bank was prepared to do a bit more and move into that negative or testing territory. Now, when we saw the monetary policy statement, we've seen the market that actually backed off because the Reserve Bank was deploying an additional tool, the funding for lending program. So the market then brought New Zealand more in line with what we're seeing in the United States, United Kingdom and Australia. Now, subsequent to the Minister of Finance firing off this letter, which the market has basically taken, well, there's less chance that interest rates are going to be negative. In fact, there's less chance that they might go to zero. So we've actually seen a tightening in financial conditions in the past 24 hours. So the New Zealand dollar is up, and interest rates, if you look at wholesale interest rates, have jumped about 10 to 15 basis points. Now, that is in direct response to the minister's letter, which has been taken by market participants, as less chance that the Reserve Bank is going to be doing more to support the economy. So your glass half full, the Reserve Bank has sort of been sort of tapped on the shoulder here in regard to, well, do we really need this? Yeah, glass half empty. We've actually delivered a tightening of financial conditions when the economy is still getting back on track, but there's still a long way to go.
Cameron, thank you very much. Independent economist Cameron Bagri.